Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Title of our message today is Tribute. Tribute. Definition of tribute is two different things. We can bring tribute to an individual. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, am I not correct? And tribute to this man who was assassinated a number of years ago. We have tribute in the month of February to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Later in the year, we'll have Columbus Day. And so we bring tribute. I understand that Alex Trebek is stepping down as the host. Is that correct? And I understand that one of the finalists left him a tribute. They said that they were going to be giving X number of dollars towards cancer research. Some of you know who Jack Van Impe is, and he passed away yesterday. And there will be, I'm sure, a fine funeral service, and they will bring tribute to this man that was known as the Walking Bible. And maybe you were at one of his crusades back in the 60s and 70s, and a tribute will be brought to him. A number of years ago, I was at a Massillon Bible College alumni and friends meeting, and the former president, Larry Emery, was given a Bible and some other thoughts, and they brought a tribute to him. Jesus would say that you were to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God, to bring tribute. But another thought of tribute is that of a tax, that of a toll or a levy. In our opening reading, we will see that Peter is confronted about Jesus concerning the temple tax payment. The temple tax during Christ's day was 2 drachma, and it was a coin, and the drachma coins came in values of 2, 3, and 4. And so every Jewish adult male had to, once a year, provide this tax payment. In today's reading, we note that our Lord is able to provide for our financial concerns, even using a fishing rod and a fish. If you would, let us stand the book of Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 22. Matthew 17, beginning at verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not thy master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of the strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish thou first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this episode that is recorded for us. And Lord, even before Peter could say what was needed, Jesus said, this is what you need to do to take care of it. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us, your mercy. Lord, for all that you provide. May we never take it for granted. And Lord, we pray now that this time together will be a blessing. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we read, for the second time, Jesus mentioned his pending death and resurrection. The disciples were deeply grieved and were afraid to ask him about it. We would have to wonder if they even believed him about his resurrection, since none of them were at the tomb when he arose triumphant from the grave. Of interest, the enemies of our Lord believed him and acted accordingly, having armed guards stationed at the tomb. Warren Wiersbe writes concerning Matthew 27, verses 24 through 27, what a paradox. Our Creator God was too poverty-stricken to pay the annual temple tax. Isn't that interesting? Some thoughts. Number one, this miracle is only recorded in the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew was what before he became a disciple of Jesus Christ? He was a tax collector. In other words, he'd be interested in money, right? It would be right up his alley. And so the former tax collector only records this event in the Gospels. So the question is, how did that fish have money in its mouth? Have you ever pondered that? As why did this fish have money in his mouth? Well, we'll talk about that later. Number two, this miracle was the only one he performed to meet his own needs. The only one. Now, you may remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has just returned from 40 days of fasting. I would dare say he was hungry. And the devil came to him and told him, well, why don't you make these stones into bread? You are hungry after all. But he would not do it. Jesus did not pay the temple tax because he felt he needed to. Because the temple was to bring honor to him, right? So he really shouldn't have had to, but he did not want to cause anyone to stumble or be offended because he was a Jew and did not support the temple ministry. So he made sure that his tax was paid. Number three, this miracle was the only miracle using money. The only miracle that used money. Since Matthew had been a tax collector, we understand that he would be interested in this miracle. But the tax had its origin in the days of Moses. We find this in Exodus chapter 30. And the original tax money was used to make the silver sockets on which the tabernacle poles were erected. Subsequent taxes were used to support the ministry of the tabernacle and then the temple. The money was to be a reminder to the Jews that they had been redeemed from the Egyptian slavery. All men, males 20 and up, had to pay it. The Bible says, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. But keeping your place here, would you please turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read the very important words that we find here in verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Let me ask you a question before we read these words. What if it was up to you to redeem your soul? What do you think you would try to do? What are you good at? What would you think that the Creator God would want for your redemption? All your money? Would you give all your money to be redeemed? Your good looks. Now, that would only include some of us. That's comic relief there, folks. Yes, I'm glad some of you laughed. The others are just looking like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What would you do? Let me ask, say this to you. What if all you had to do was memorize the whole Bible? To get into heaven, you had to memorize the whole Bible, and that before you entered in, you had to quote it word for word. How many of you think you'd get into heaven? How many of you could get through the book of Genesis? How about verse 1 of Genesis 1? Yeah, we could all do that one, right? Yes. What would you do? You had to be kind all the time. Are you kind all the time? We watch you drive. Are you kind all the time? Yes. You had to be a gentleman or a lady. Interesting, isn't it? What would you do if you had to be the one in charge? Oh, if I went to church all the time. You think that's good enough? I gave my tithe all the time. Would that be enough? I prayed continuously. Would that be enough? It's not. No. The book of Isaiah tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags when compared to his holiness. Compared to his holiness. So in other words, the only way we can be redeemed is through something that God himself did for us. That's the only way. We read here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He is our Redeemer. He paid our ransom. He went into the slave camp of sin and purchased our freedom with his shed blood. Number 4, this is the only miracle using one fish. One fish. How many of you like to go to a restaurant and order some type of fish? You enjoy one type of fish. My wife enjoys salmon. And she gets salmon a lot of times. We've been out with the Rushes at Cracker Barrel. And they've had trout. And you like that. How many of you like trout? I understand it's good. I've never had it. I have a hard time ordering fish at a restaurant. I have ordered salmon. But the fact of the matter is, do you like to eat fish? Don and I were just down in Amish country, and we went to Charm's harness shop, where they sell all kinds of things, shoes, socks, clothing. And they have all these dead animals on the wall. Okay? All kinds of deer heads and elk and other things. And they have these fish that are mounted on the wall. These fish. And I'm sure that someone was excited when they caught them. Do you like to go fishing? Some of you probably enjoy it. You probably have taken time to go. Do you know what type of fish I eat most? Comes in a can, that's right, tuna. Tuna. Okay. But here we have a miracle using one fish. Do you remember Jesus had a miracle where he fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and he had so many loaves and what? Fish. He later again fed 4,000 men plus women and children, and he used bread and fish. On a couple of occasions, Peter was blessed, and Jesus said to him at one time, cast your net on the other side. They had caught nothing all the night. Do you remember the story? They had caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the ship. Now, does that make a whole lot of difference? If you cast it on the left side of the ship or on the right side of the ship? Now, Jesus was by what trade? What was he by trade? Was he a fisherman? It's a carpenter. What was Peter? He was a fisherman. And Jesus says to him, cast your net on the other side. Doesn't that sound like something a landlubber would say? Well, why don't you try the other side of the ship? And he did, though, probably because he didn't want to embarrass Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He didn't want to embarrass Jesus. Shouldn't Peter have jumped up and said, what do you want me to do on the other side? Of course, I'll do that. That's what he should have said. Do you remember what happened when he cast the net on the other side? There was so many that the nets almost broke. Yes. I believe that Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. And Peter cast a net. He should have cast more, right? Sure. There was the time in which Jesus had miracles with fish that Peter was blessed. But here was one with one fish. One fish. A special story. Special story. Let's continue. Let's continue. When we consider the complexity of this miracle, I must admit it amazes us. First, someone had to lose a coin in the water. Correct? They had to lose a coin. Second, a fish had to be swimming by at that exact moment. And he had to open his mouth and take it in. Correct? Number three, the coin had to what? Had to stay there, right? It had to stay there. Now, let me ask you this. If a coin got in your mouth, how long are you going to leave it? How many of you knew somebody that swallowed a penny when they were young? And then when it was passed, they said, well, how did that happen? And they showed them how they did it. They swallowed it again. Yeah, that wouldn't be very nice, would it? Yeah, maybe you know someone who swallowed a coin. But the fact of the matter is, if a coin got in your mouth, how long are you going to leave it in there? Well, for some reason, someone dropped a coin, a fish swallowed it, or took it into its mouth, it stayed in its mouth, and then when Peter, who usually used a net, went out with a fishing rod with a hook, and he threw it into the water, and that fish bit on the hook. It's amazing. What are the odds? It was a miracle, right? Can I ask you a question? Now, this is just Paul Madonna talking to you, okay? This is not Pastor Paul, okay? This is Paul Madonna. Why didn't Jesus have a coin just sitting over there in the dust? And him say, oh, there's a coin. Peter, use that. Wouldn't that have been simpler? Hello? Yeah. But that's not what he did. What was he doing to Peter? He was making Peter prove himself, right? Making him go do what he asked him to do. So this is the only miracle using one fish. This is not, though, the first miracle that Jesus did for Peter. This is not the first one. Do you remember when his mother-in-law was sick? What did he do? He healed her. Do you remember when Peter said, "Let me walk on the water"? What did he do? He walked on the water. And then when Peter took his eyes off the Lord, because the sea was boisterous, if I remember correct, what did Peter begin to do? Sink. And he cried out for help, and Jesus reached out and got him. How about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter had a sword. Do you remember that? And he cut off the ear of Malchus. What did the Lord do? He reached down and he picked up the ear and put it back on. Because I think Peter would have been grieved about that for years. But Jesus took care of him. Note, Jesus knew the need of Peter and met it, telling Peter what to do before he even mentioned it. Go and do this. If you would, back to the book of Matthew, where we were at, Matthew chapter 17. Verse 27 says, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." So this one coin was of value to take care of two men's needs. In conclusion, are you surprised that there isn't a verse 28 telling us that Peter did this? That Peter went and found a fishing rod and he went to the water and maybe he went out on a dock and he cast out the line and he was there for 2 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, and that when he caught the fish, he pulled it up and he opened the mouth and there what was a coin. Are you surprised that none of that is written there? All it says is that he had enough to cover it for both of them. And take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It is Peter who writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know that we can go through financial struggles. You've probably known people who've gone through financial struggles. You probably know somebody, or maybe you yourself. I remember growing up as a boy, I would be given an allowance of 50 cents a week. And by the end of the week, the 50 cents was gone to pay for a bill. We didn't have a lot. I've told you the story how my dad came home one time with a box of clothes. Do you remember that? And there was a pair of pants that fit me. Red pants. You can imagine a 9 or a 10-year-old boy wanting to wear red pants. I'm not angry about that. I don't have nightmares about it anymore. But some of you know that it can become hard to pay bills if the job isn't paying enough, or maybe there isn't a job. Is your God able to take care of you? Is your God able to provide for you? If you would, the book of Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. "Now rejoiced in the Lord, greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I lack or speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe Paul's words to the church there at Philippi? That I can do all things through Christ? That God will provide? Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I believe this as I was taught as a young boy and as a teenager and as a young man and down through the years, is that you cannot outgive God. Let me say that again, that you cannot outgive God. The fact of the matter is that when you are faithful to your Lord, the Lord will take care of you. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. He will provide as necessary. Now, may I say this? He will provide our needs. He will not always necessarily provide our wants. Though I think a lot of times he provides the wants also. I believe we need to learn to be givers because our God is a giver. He is one that provides. And then we'll close with verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now you say, well, man, oh man, does he really provide all our needs? I believe he provides the needs of those who are willing to give. That give to the house of God, that give to the cause of Christ. I believe that he will supply the needs of those who are willing to trust him. I believe it's important that we believe our God is able. Not only to save our souls, but also to provide for our necessities. Shall we stand together? I'll be honest with you, I'm glad the Lord doesn't make me go out and fish for money. But I also am glad that God has provided for Don and myself through our many years of marriage. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I am baffled by what the Lord has done for us and how he's provided. And I stand before you with a testimony that God is faithful. He is faithful. Maybe this morning you just would like to thank God for his many blessings. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and thank him, or come and sit on the front pew, or even sit down where you're at and just thank the Lord for his many blessings that abound in our lives. His greatest blessing is that he is willing to provide our salvation. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be more than happy to show you from the Scriptures what must be done to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand of blessing upon us. Provide for us, Lord, this time with the Spirit moving and touching hearts. And Lord, may it be of encouragement to know that you are able and you are willing to be with us. Bless this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.